Now, Fave, I will leave for the 10-15 minutes for the question-answer sessions, okay? If you have any questions.
Yes, Kenla. When we sit for the meditation, I open my eyes and look down. So after a few times, so I will see a lots of form. Sometimes can be the form in the form of the Buddha, some in the human form. So what should I do with that issue?
I didn't get the point. Can you just tell me, it's saying that seeing by own eye or in your mind?
They just said that when they look down and after that they see. They don't mention clearly they see from the mind or from the eye.
That should be made very clear, whether seeing by the eye or mind. Then it should be made clear. Okay, then make it, once make it clear, then only I can answer, okay? Okay, fine, and then make it clear, okay, whether they're seeing by the eye or mind. Then I think there is a why the mala having the 108 pieces, isn't it? Other question, I think there is called the why the mala has 108 pieces. Actually, the mala should have the 100 pieces, okay? Okay, 100 pieces. So what having is 100 pieces is the one thing that what you think the 8 pieces, it just for the, just keep the, when we chant the mantra, sometimes we met, when we use the mala, sometimes we may skip a 2-3 beats of the mala. For sake of that, we just keep the 108 more. Sometimes it's have 108, some malas have 111. There is not really exactly, it's, there is no such a number that we should have. Okay, now other questions.
Yenla, the people asking, is there any difference between the bado of a cow and the bado of a human? And is the evolutionary process have any effect on the bado?
Okay, partho, it depends that now the partho, when the animal partho, if you look at a cow, when the cow was born in the partho, and it depends on the, its merits or the, its non good karma. So generally the cows, when they have a very strong merit and the, that cow is going to born in a higher realm, this partho will be become, we call that, that partho will become very different than the animal partho. Even in, if you look at the partho, they will different parthos, animal partho, human partho, they will different parthos. But the thing is that when you're born in the partho and the animal partho, when a cow born in the partho, but the, in the time of the cow, he is stupid, he don't understand any language. When he's born in the partho, it will be totally different. It will become very sharp. Mind will be very sharp. As will understand the language, he will become a very sharp. One very sharp being. But the thing is that the, even the, if you born in the partho, the, from the cow was born in the partho, when it depends on the, now the positive karma. When the cow born in the partho and the human born in the partho, which have a more strong positive karma, they will have a less fear. When they are having the less positive karma, more fear. When they are having the more positive karma, less fear. So this is the one thing. Yeah, this is the one thing you have to know. This is the one thing. Okay. So what you have to know. So yeah, okay, and then other questions.
Yes, Kenla, the next question is, is there any difference between the practice of a lay Buddhist and the monk or the nuns? And can we recite the Diamond Sutra?
Same, there's no difference, okay? Monks and the, there's no difference. Practice is the same. Even they will know, no one will know the, who will achieve the Buddhahood first, laymen or monks. So this is not a difference in the practice as a layman, lay or non-Buddhist. But this, to achieve the Buddhahood, you don't have to become a monk. You don't have to become the nun. That is a very obvious and a very clear what the Buddha mentioned. To achieve the Buddhahood, you don't have to become a monk and nun. The practice is the same. Only thing is that what you have to change in practice should come from the inside. I always used to say that, no? To changes of the, your way of the thinking. Okay, any other questions now?
So I have received the initiation of Amitabha Buddha from Rinpoche Sudeli. Can I change the Amitabha Buddha's name in Vietnamese, or I have to change the Amitabha mantra? What was transmitted by Rinpoche? And the second point is that in order to change the Vajrasattva mantra, do I really have to receive the oral transmission from Rinpoche?
Okay. Now do one thing. Whenever you say the chanting the mantra should chant in the Sanskrit. That is the original mantra. So in the mantra, Tibetan, we have translated so many texts from the Indian language to the Tibetan language. We translated everything. But the mantra still we chant that in the Sanskrit. We never chant the mantra in the Tibetan. But you can chant the whatever Amitabha's Buddha's name in Vedams, there is no problem. But it's come to the mantra, that is the original language of the Sanskrit. So we have to go in the Sanskrit. So that's why when you chant the mantra in the Sanskrit, that is the original, the Buddha word, that will mantra will be more effective. Because this is the original. Original, that is the original, the Buddha's word, that we have to chant that in the Sanskrit. Okay, now from, so we can go through that, okay? Vajrasattva mantra. So Vajrasattva mantra is like, without the oral transmission, you can chant the mantra, there is no problem. Once you receive the oral transmission, the Vajrasattva mantra, you chant the Vajrasattva mantra, it will be more effective. That's the point. And now the other questions,
About the practice of Manjushri, when we visualize the mantra, Silo, Omara Bhattanadi, and it turn around this syllable. So in what direction we would circulate the image?
Oh, I didn't get the question. Can you just tell me once again?
The syllable Omara Bhattanadi spin around the D syllable is at the center and the other syllable spin around it. So in what direction, clockwise or counterclockwise, will we turn?
Turn the D syllables.
Yes, Rinpoche. When we visualize the Omara Bhattanadi and it spin around the D syllable.
No, D will be the center. No, D will be the center. Arabaza will be go the clockwise, okay? D will be in the center. D will be the center. Arabaza now will be go the clockwise, okay?
So the other question is, when we visualize the merit field and focus on the deity at the center, so can I visualize the deity as the Buddha Amitabha at the center?
Center, they should be the Lama Tsongkhapa, no? Center, they should be the Lama Tsongkhapa. So this is a question, isn't it? Center. Yeah, Amitabha and all the Buddhas have come in the underlined. Last time I told, no? I think in the Ho Chi Minh City, I told very elaborate way, how all this should come, no? I think the Amitabha Buddha and all the Buddha Shakyamuni come the fourth or fifth line. They will come only that. Okay, now other.
The question is, how to use the mala properly and effectively?
Mala, there is no such a way how we have to use the mala. So what is your convenience, you can use that mala. So that's a way you can use the mala with the right hand or left hand, your own convenience. This is the difference between the Buddhist Tantra and the non-Buddhist Tantra. Non-Buddhist Tantra, you cannot use by mala by the left hand. According to the Buddhist Tantra, you can use the mala right or left, there is no difference. Yeah, any other question?
So when you did the Manjushri initiation, you say that you visualize receiving the blessing from Manjushri Buddha. First, visualize receive the body blessing from Manjushri Buddha and then chant the mantra. And then visualize receiving the speech blessing from Manjushri and then chant the mantra. So the question is, can we combine these two steps together simultaneously?
Can you combine with them? What do you mean by that? No, do both. No, not the same time. First you have to do the first and the second, they should be the step by step to receive the body blessings of that. If you have a time, it will better if you do the step by step. Once you don't have the time, then you can do the same time. It is better do by the step by step. So once you have the time, it's better if you do by the step by step. Once you don't have the time, then you will do it together both. Yeah. Okay. Now I think this is a question, but what the meaning of the whom syllables, isn't it? Vajradhara Buddha. Generally, syllables is a use of a syllables, as I told the last time, they are the three syllables we use in a very common way. Om or whom, these three syllables. So usually we see the whom is the syllable, seat of the mind, seat of the Buddha's mind. So that's why we are using the syllables whom. So that is the syllables whom, and so that's why syllables whom is Om is the seat of the Buddha's body, A is the seat of the Buddha's speech, whom is the seat of the Buddha's mind. So that's the syllabus whom we use. It's called the seat of the Buddha's mind. So that's why we're using the syllabus whom, center of the Vajradhara Buddha. So that's why whom is we using is at center, because it's symbolized the Buddha's mind. Okay, fine. Okay, and if you don't have any more questions, maybe now we will go from the, little bit of the last time. That last time topic. Now I think last time we talked about, after the thinking about these things, the way to modify the behavior, there are two general points, no? General teaching and the particular, how to purify oneself with the four powers. Okay, so now the general parts, okay? So in the particular, how to purify oneself with the four powers, I think we will, there's the two points, no?
Yes, Srimad.
Yeah, so now, first one, I think we talk a little bit about the general teachings. So what I told you, I think I told you the last time, what you have to do is that you have to look of the yourself of the every day. So have you done that? So looking by the set, that the what are the, you have done the positive or negative karma or whatever, you're just looking back at the whole the day. Yeah, so now here you can see the few of the words. So you see that how right for me to think diligently all the time, both day and night, from the non-virtue, from suffering, and then how to be the free from non-virtue, yeah? So this is something like that generally, as I told the last time, whenever you do doing the practice, whatever you have to look at yourself, and you have to look at whether since the morning or up till the evening, whether you have tried any right things or what, you have to think that again and again. Yeah, we have to look ourselves again and again, whether we are doing the right things or whatever, we have to look again and again, yeah. Okay, now these are the second point is, I think that the second verses is a quite good verses. The sages say that the belief is the root of all the things of the virtues. The root of these beliefs has always been meditation reaping effects, okay. This is a second verses is a quite important. So maybe when you have the free time, you can just read that second verses and try to think that second verses again and again. The edge is said that the virtuous thing, comes from the main with the virtuous thing, says at the root of the virtuous is the devotion, the belief. When you have some belief or devotion towards any Dharma or the Buddha, then every of the practice would become very easy. But still you have not a fully devotions or the fully not belief or the Dharma or the Buddha, then the practice would be more difficult. So that's a devotion, it says. So sometimes when we believe in the devotions and we will have to know that the devotions and the belief and the inspiration, they are two different things, okay? The practice of everything is the devotions and the belief that is there. Once you have the belief in the Dharma, what you are doing, the Dharma and with the Buddha, then every practice will be go smoothly. So that's why it says the belief. Before generating the belief, what you have to look at very carefully, whether you have to analyze it properly. After the analyzing, then once you get the devotion and the belief, then the practice will go very smoothly. Sometimes we get the inspiration, but we can't believe it. So it's just like that. I have one Kip monk. That Kip monk is generally in the Tibetan, we have the one very famous story of the Milarepa, the great sages. So he, in his Milarepa stories, that they were stories about the Milarepa, where sometimes his master will beat him and he will ask him to do so many tasks. So still he will do and follow whatever the master says very properly. Even the master beats him, he will not show any anger toward the master. So he will do every of the master task. Master will give him a very heavy task. So this story, I think that Kid monk have heard in the schools. So that the Kid monks will come here and he will say how nice, how good that Milarepa, when he talks about all these issues. So that the Milarepa was generally, the Milarepa was asked by his master to do the very heavy task, very severe task, but he will do it. And sometimes Milarepa master beats the Milarepa, but still he will accept it. So he was telling these stories and he says that Kid monk said, how nice, how good, yeah. But he admired, that's what he got the inspiration. One day he was just reading a book. I just hit on his head. Very slowly, hit on his head. He looked back and he got quite angry and said, why don't you are hitting me? He got quite angry. That time he completely forgot how good and how nice. So something like that, the inspiration, he had admired, but he don't believe, he have not fully believed, and the devotion is missing in his case. So that's why the, he have the inspired that stories. But in it, when it comes to the his case, he cannot follow it, because he have not the belief on his way, not the belief on there. He have the no devotion on his field, the guru devotion. He have lack of the guru devotion, not a belief in his case. So that's why he is getting angry. So in his case, there is no good and no how nice. When the Milarepa was beat by his master, it's a very how nice and good. Milarepa, when he accepting the master's beating, it's a very good and very nice for him. When his master hits slowly on his head, there is no good and nice. In his case, there is no good and nice, because he have not generated the devotions and the belief in this field. So this is the point. So this is the one point that this is the one point. So they're saying that the faith and the belief, is the root of the all the virtue. So belief is whatever the virtue action, you need the belief on it. What the modern term, what they call the self-confidence. Whatever the virtue action, what you are doing, whatever doing as according to them, you should have the belief on that. Then only whatever task you are doing, it's not difficult at all. Once still when you are feeling the doubt, then it's very difficult to carry on the every of the practices. So now the root of the beliefs always being that the meditation on the riffing effects. Now you can see the third and fourth sentence. So that's what we can see is that, no? That's why what we can see is that what the important thing is that the root of the belief is always been the meditation on the reaping of the effects. The root of the beliefs, okay? Root of the belief is the whatever what we believe in the Dharma, whatever we believe in, the most important thing is we have to believe in the cause and effect. That's what he's saying. The cause and effect is something like that. When you look at the cause and effect, generally what we have to look at that when you do the virtue things, you will get the positive result. When you do the non-virtue, it will get a negative result. Some sort of like this, we call the cause and effect. That's a very simple form of the cause and effect. When you have the belief on the cause and effect, then every of the action what you do, you will think twice, whatever you do. Okay, so this is something like that. This is something like that. Yeah, cause and effect. Generally, whatever the belief, whatever the generated and the beliefs on the cause and effect, then it will have you to refrain from the all the doing the negative actions. So that's why the, now the questions, one of the questions comes at the how, why the one we do the positive action, so what will come the positive result? That I talked, I think the last time I talked, but there is a one very strong word. I think that is a word I always like very much. There is a one word in Liberation Pump 420. Can you see that? The stars, moon, and may fall. The earth and mountain, its cities may perish. Speech itself may be transformed into the something else, but the Buddha will never speak the untrue. Can you see that? This is a very powerful, and I like this verse very much. So this is the one verse I will like very much. So now the here, one of the great Indian scholar called the Dharmakirti, he logically proved that the why the Buddha never tells a lie. That's the, his works, very interesting work. He do the so many of the interesting research. The Dharmakirti, I think it comes 1,000 years back, Indian the Nalanda scholar. One of the, he is the, my favorite philosopher. So he done the many research. One research he done that whether the Buddha will tell a lie or not. What do you say, Dharmakirti? Dharma is a Sanskrit. Kirti is a fame or like that, yeah. Okay, so he done the one research on the data whether Buddha tells a lie or not. So he keep the so many good logical reason that the why Buddha will never tell a lie. So the first reason he said that the Buddha never tells the lies. The first reason is the why Buddha never tells the lies. The first reason is that usually people tell the lies sake of the gain, the self-interest. Sake of the gain of the self-interest result. Second thing is the lack of the compassion. Why the people tell the once they are not compassionate towards other, then they will tell the lie and they will try to deceive other. Third is to gain something, we will tell the lie. But the Buddha is the person, he told the Buddha is a person who left everything. He have not thinking for the self-interest. He left the palace, he left the wealth, he left the fame, everything he left it. So that's why now the one that telling the lie, he have no any intention to gain something from the others. So that's the one thing. Second thing is that he had a great compassion toward all of the sentient beings. Third thing is that he have no any self-interest. These 3 points he proved that the Buddha never tells the lie. So that's why what we have to understand, that that's why the when the Buddha was saying that the, when the positive karma will bring the positive results, that is not a lie. Because Buddha never tells a lie. This is the one logical reason. Second reason, I think I always say, that not every action, every same reaction will be that way, no? That is not the Dhamma Kirti, okay? The Dhamma Kirti says that the Buddha never tells a lie. So that's why he proved that the, every positive action will bring the positive result. Because the Buddha says so. Buddha never tells a lie. Because then the what the I have. A couple of years back, my master followed very sick, because he is quite old. So other students, they talk with, communicate him. They always try to give him the hope that you don't look at your face, you are getting better, you're better. Always they say your face is shining. So always say like that. I always tell them this is not the right way. Just telling the lie. Because they think that we have to tell the lie, because to make him the more happy. But I always against of the using like this to the lie to please my teacher. I believe that there is a way. So yeah, one occasion, and he just asked me that how he looks, getting looks like. Now he's. Can you hear me?
Yes, Shimuja, I can hear you.
So that's why the untrue is something like that, especially that that's why the, he is saying the Buddha never says a lie, untrue things. That's why, so you just read these words a few times. So when I saw this, the first time this word, really the, my body started to shiver. Really, I like that word very much. But the one thing is that whenever you started to tell the truth, whenever you stop telling the lie, most important thing, one thing that you have to know that you don't expect that everyone will tell the truth. You are very cautious. Yeah, so that's the one thing. Because someone, when we stop this, when sometimes when we stop the telling the lie, when we try to always true, then sometimes we will over bleep the other. Always feel that everyone will tell the truth. That is the one big mistake sometimes we make. Because the person who always tells a lie, they believe that all others will tell a lie. Yeah, so that's why, okay, so that's why this is a word, so that's why the this is a word that was saying that the, when we think the positive actions will bring the positive result, because the Buddha said so Buddha never tells a lie. With that reason, what we have to do, we have to generate the more belief on faith on the cause and effect. Okay, so we will stop here.